Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Global Cancer Symposium 2.0. I am your host, Nathan Crane. I'm the award-winning filmmaker of Cancer, The Integrative Perspective, as well as the director of the Health and Healing Club. And today we're talking with Lloyd Burrell about EMF protection, cancer, and how we can protect ourselves. Lloyd Burrell is on a mission to raise awareness about the dangers of electromagnetic fields from cell phones and similar devices. And really, he's here to share solutions with all of us, right? You probably are tuning into this interview because you have some knowledge or understanding that EMFs can have some potential negative consequences for your health. And if you're like me and many others who are part of the symposium, you're interested in everything you can do to optimize your health and your body's ability to heal itself. And that's what we need to do, right? We need to get rid of all the things that are contributing to chronic disease like cancer, and then implement and nourish ourselves with the things that help us heal. So this is going to be a really important and valuable interview. I'm going to share some really practical things that you can do to help protect yourself against, you know, the potential dangers of EMF and excessive EMF exposure. So Lloyd is the founder of the website electricsense.com. He is the creator of the Healing with Vibration Summit, as well as the EMF Health Summit, which introduced EMFs to an audience of over 200,000 people. He's a regular speaker at international online events, podcasts, radio shows, and hosts his own bi-monthly EMF Health podcast. He's the author of two ebooks on EMFs, and his latest book is called EMF Practical Guide. You can go learn more about all of his great resources at electricsense.com. Lloyd, brother, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks a lot, Nathan. Thanks a lot.
So let's dive right in. Here's the big question, right? I think everyone wants to know. Do EMFs cause cancer?
Okay, so I've actually prepared a little slideshow to walk you through this because let's talk scientifically, because I know people want to know the facts. And I've just prepared something here, which I'd like to share with you, if we can start off with that. So do EMFs cause cancer? How to protect yourself? So first question is, you know, what causes cancer? So the commonly held belief is that cancer is a result of genetic damage. But the alternative theory, which is certainly growing in support, is that it's mitochondrial damage and dysfunction which are the primary causes of the genetic damage, which is observed in most cancers. And a great resource on that is a book by a gentleman called Professor Thomas Seyfried, The Metabolic Theory of Cancer. I'm sure you've heard of that. So what's important here is just to point out that this distinction is actually irrelevant because EMFs clearly cause DNA damage and mitochondrial dysfunction. Okay, so it's a kind of a chicken and egg situation, which goes first. And we have this mechanism of harm. We have this understanding now of how these EMFs from all these different devices, you know, cell phones, Wi-Fi, smart meters, all these wireless devices, Bluetooth, so on and so forth, how this impacts our body and impacts our cells. And so these wireless exposures create these free radicals, these carbonyl free radicals, which damage so many things in our body, our DNA, cell membranes, proteins, stem cells, disrupts cell division, and damages the mitochondria. What's important to understand is that this damage is virtually identical to the damage of ionizing radiation. Yeah. So ionizing radiation, that's a radiation which everybody knows and agrees is dangerous, you know, like gamma radiation, nuclear radiation, going for x-rays and all that. Well, what we're saying is now the result of this, you know, all these devices which we're using, that is impacting us in the same way. And it's the same, or the result is the same. The result is the same. That's the important thing. So let's just look at your brain. So Most research with regard to how EMFs impact your brain is on this RF radiation, this radio frequency radiation. So we're talking about wireless cell phones, Bluetooth and all that. Your brain is about 75% water and it's very fragile. So this is why you've got the skull. That's the role of the skull, to protect your brain from bangs and knocks and stuff. But we also have this thing called the blood-brain barrier, the BBB for short. And that's another very important form of protection. This BBB has two roles. On the one hand, it's preventing toxins from getting into your brain. And on the other hand, it's allowing your brain to get all the essential nutrients it needs. And what we know is that cell phone radiation damages, very clearly damages, this blood-brain barrier. And we've known this for like over 50 years. This was research which was carried out by a gentleman called Dr. Alan Frey in the 1970s, 1960s even it started. And this damage, which was observed, came from very low-level exposures. And what was observed, that these changes can come about almost immediately. So almost as soon as you start using your cell phone, then it is impacting your brain. So this blood-brain barrier is absolutely vital in protecting your brain. And EMFs from all these devices which we're using, which everybody is using without a second thought, clearly, as many studies have shown over the years since the 1970s, damage this blood-brain barrier and let in all sorts of pathogens, viruses, bacteria, you name it, toxins of every shape or form, which is obviously relevant given in the current health crisis. So if we look back at some of the research, okay, just very quickly, an important bit of research is that carried out in the 1990s by the Wireless Technology Research Program, headed by Dr. George Carlo, $28 million bit of research over 7 years. And this is important because it was the cell phones industry's own study. Okay, so this guy, Dr. George Carlo, he was taken on. The cell phone was hoping that to prove that cell phones were safe. Unfortunately, the study's conclusion was that there is a definite risk that radiation that emanates from a cell phone can cause cancer. Okay, those are the very words of the study, the former head of the study. Obviously, it's a former head because that was all disbanded and they tried to smother all that and keep it quiet and that nobody knew about it. And a few people do know about it, but that's why it's important to talk about it. And then we've got these landmark studies, Interphone studies, another big multi-million dollar study, which found that using your cell phone for just 30 minutes a day can increase your risk of getting a brain tumor by 40%, just 30 minutes a day. Don't forget, this is just cell phone radiation in isolation. And then when we add in all these other exposures, all these other wireless exposures and wired exposures, which I'm going to talk about later on, then obviously that is even more concerning because it's not just about cell phone radiation. There's a lot more going on. A UK study on 790,000 middle-aged women found that women who used their cell phones for 10 or more years were 2.5 times more likely to develop an acoustic neuroma. That's a tumor in the auditory nerve. And the risk increased with the number of years that we're using the cell phone. And then we've got more studies. The Mayo Clinic study found that long-term use doubles the risk of brain tumors on the same side of the head where the phone is held. Now, how curious is that? A strange coincidence, he's laughing. It's not a laughing matter at all, but there's other studies which have come to similar conclusions. Very important study, NTP study, National Toxicology Program study, $30 million study paid by the US taxpayers, which came out with evidence of increased risk of glioma. The wording of the final conclusion was clear evidence of cancer here for different kinds of tumors, but notably malignant tumors of the brain and also tumors of the heart. And this NTP study, by the way, it's not a flash in the pan. I mean, it's a big, big study, but actually the study was replicated in Italy by the Ramazzini Institute, and they came out with exactly the same conclusions. And there is more and more and more research on this, a lot of research. And if you want to find more, then I recommend you go to the Bio Initiative report for more on that. And also important to note that, you know, in 2011, the World Health Organization, which is incredibly conservative, and that's another way of saying that comes under massive influence from a lot of very powerful lobbies, has a lot of money thrown at it, so it's saying the right thing. They said even back then that that radio frequency radiation of the type used the cell phones emit was a group 2B possible human carcinogen. Okay, and subsequent studies, and the members actually of that committee that decided that are now saying that classification is completely outdated and that it should be rated as a probable carcinogen. So that was for the wireless. And then just very quickly on wiring, because, you know, it's not all about wireless, it's also about EMFs from wires, and there's three types of electromagnetic fields from wires: electric fields, magnetic fields, and dirty electricity. And this is what we're surrounded by, you know, particularly with, you know, the whole COVID thing, which is going on. We're more and more indoors, and people are working in front of their computers and stuff because, you know, we're not supposed to go out and things. So this is increasingly a problem. And these wired exposures, so what's important is, you know, these, when you have a wire, the electromagnetic fields, the electricity going through a wire generates these electromagnetic fields, these electric fields, magnetic fields, dirty electricity. And these electromagnetic fields don't stay on the wire, they permeate out into the room and into you. And these the effects of these wired exposures are cellular damage, DNA breaks, double strand, single strand, creation of free radicals, and other synergistic effects. So it's very similar to the effects from wireless. And you know, we've got studies going back years. 1979, the first major study on this found that children living near ordinary power lines had three times the likelihood of developing cancer, leukemia, actually.
Wow, those are just regular electrical power lines.
Just regular electrical power lines.
Wow.
And very low levels of exposure too, like about 2 milligauss, which, you know, according to some studies, 2/3 of homes have readings of 2 milligauss or more. I mean, two milligauss is not exceptional by any means. And then we've got this other thing, just very briefly, dirty electricity. He says, you know, as if it's just let's toss it in there. But it is really important. That's why I want to talk about it, because it's a growing problem. Because all these devices which we're introducing, notably are using less and less power, they're using less and less power by chopping the current, and by chopping, and chopping the current by maybe 20,000 times a second. So you can't actually see it, but your body can sense it. And this creates this electropollution in the kilohertz range. And what we know from studies, notably Russian studies, is that this goes internal. These frequencies go internal. You can see on the picture here what that dirty electricity looks like on a sine wave. Just one example here is the La Quinta Middle School in California. 2013, teachers were complaining that the cancer rates were high amongst their colleagues. And the actual statistic, if you want, was like three times higher risk of cancer at La Quinta compared to California residents as a whole. So it was really high. And so there was a team that went in there led by Dr. Samuel Milam and Dave Stets, a power expert. And they found that in one quarter of the classrooms, the dirty electricity readings were so high, they overloaded the meter. At the time of the study, there were 11 reported cancer cases, okay? The update, the information that I had when I spoke to Bill Cadwallader, who's a building biologist, a local building biologist, was that now 49 of those students got cancer, 12 have died, 6 teachers and staff and 6 students in their early 20s have now died. There's 13 times the expected thyroid rate cancer at this school, 10 times the expected melanoma rate, and 9 times the expected uterine cancer rate. So this is a huge problem. How many schools, offices, homes have high dirty electricity problems where, you know, this kind of outcome can come around?
Lloyd, when you spoke with him, did you... have you heard that they've actually done anything to mitigate that?
They had mitigated, yes. Obviously, they had. I mean, it was off the scale because, like, the meter goes to like 2,000 units, and a safer reading, what we're always aiming for, is like under 50 units. And so they did do the mitigation. But unfortunately, you know, the teachers and the pupils had been exposed to these this dirty electricity for a number of years already, and so the damage was already done. A lot of science here.
It's so sad to hear. I mean, a school where this is happening, but this is happening all over the world, right? Not only in our schools, but in our office buildings, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, everywhere. And so, you know, what you're sharing is critically important. Of course, we're going to get into solutions through this as well. So make sure everyone tuning in, you stay tuned in with us for this entire interview, and also taking notes, you know, so you know what you can do to protect yourself. But I wanted to just go back to when you said a safer reading is under 50 units. What are those units measured in?
So those units are GS units, Gram Stetzer units, which is a kind of a proprietary unit, if you want. It's a function of voltage and time, and it's a measure of dirty electricity, GS, Gram Stetzer units, and it's very easy to measure, and that's the thing as well. And I can actually show you a meter which can measure that. It's a meter which you can plug in, and it's easy to measure, and it's easy to mitigate. That's the thing, and it's not terribly expensive either.
And this is particularly for hardwired electrical lines. It's not necessarily for Wi-Fi or things like that, or also it measures that?
No. So this is just for dirty electricity. And we do need a separate meter for dirty electricity. I'm going to share with you in a little while what meter I recommend for measuring EMFs generally. And then we need another meter to measure dirty electricity. So we always need to, we generally need 2 meters to do this properly. And I do recommend doing it properly.
And this is something people can obviously do at home, in their offices, you know, even at schools where their children go if they wanted to.
Absolutely. And it's, and that's what, what I do, it's all about empowerment. It's about helping people so they can help themselves. But at the same time, I'm all for calling in an EMF consultant, calling in a building biologist, and working with that person. But you still need the meters, you know, because this is a constantly evolving situation, because we're always buying stuff, you know, and there's things breaking down. And as soon as you bring anything new in, as soon as you bring that new smart TV or whatever, new computer, then you need to remeasure. And this is what I do all the time. And even I get caught out by this, and I can still feel this stuff. So I don't get the symptoms. I can like reset very quickly. You know, even I get caught out of it. So you have to be really diligent about this. So there's so many studies on this, on EMFs particularly, but on the cancer question, there is also a lot of studies. Obviously my website, electricsense.com, and specifically if you're just into the studies, then I recommend you go to bioinitiative.org.
Yeah, thanks for that, Lloyd. I mean, obviously we could dive much deeper into the science, of course. And, you know, I don't think we need to. I think people understand now. And as you said, this has been known for a long time. I mean, I remember reading stories about women years ago, over a decade ago, that, you know, used to carry the cell phone in the bra. And after a number of years of doing that, they developed tumor-shaped cell phone-shaped tumors right on the breast. It looked exactly like the phone that they used to carry right there, right? So that was like, okay, you know, there's something we need to pay attention to. As you said, they've been studying this for many, many years. The problem is most people don't realize the impact that all of these smart devices, and now we've got, you know, this, as you said, the smart TVs, and then we've got the Alexas or whatever, which are, you know, putting out so much, you know, EMF pollution. And then now 5G, which we're going to talk about, and then Wi-Fi and all these things. And, you know, so obviously I want to get into solutions. And before we do, what do we need to know about 5G specifically? Let's talk about that for a little bit, because it's kind of been, it kind of, what I've seen is like, okay, there was this big explosion of people questioning it, people scared about it, people saying, hey, this is potentially dangerous. There's not enough studies on it. It's very, you know, scary to think about because it's significantly higher potential damage to the DNA of the body, but these companies are just putting them up everywhere so quickly, kind of almost behind the scenes as everyone else is now, you know, worried about the pandemic. All these 5G towers went up all over the world, right, in the last number of months. And now I've seen the conversation around 5G, at least from my threads, for whatever reason, that I follow has just diminished. Like, I haven't seen anybody talking about it now. And that,
well, there's a reason for that.
Yeah. So go ahead, talk about that, why that is, what we need to know about it, how to protect ourselves. We'll get into that as well.
Yeah. So one of the reasons why we're not hearing about it, Nathan, is simply because this information is being suppressed, sadly. So obviously the COVID thing is taking people's attention. That's what everybody's interested in, and that's kind of what everybody's concerned about. And there is, in my mind, clearly a link between 5G and COVID, by the way. So there's that aspect as well, because there's a link between health and toxins in any, just very simply. And, you know, 5G is another toxin. And so let's just separate fact from fiction, yeah, with this whole 5G thing, because it is really a great thing in many ways, because it's an improvement on the existing technology. Everything's going to be so much faster, 10 to 100 times faster, apparently, between 4G and 5G. That's what they're saying. And so, yeah, it's great. And everybody wants bigger and better and, you know, the world to improve and things to improve. But there is a cost. There is a cost to all of this. And there are studies out there linking exposures of the type which 5G is using, because it's already being used in certain parts of the world, certain parts of the US. There are certain cities already which are implementing 5G. And the studies then we have showing very clear effects that 5G. So when we say 5G, you know, it's a little bit of a vague term, by the way, because it's really what, when we're talking about EMS, we always need to be clear about what frequencies we're talking about. And 5G is new frequencies in the main, but not always. It depends where you live. So, but we can be going into these very high frequency bands, 20 gigahertz, 60 gigahertz, 80 gigahertz, depending on where you live, as opposed to 1 or 2 gigahertz, which the existing networks are using.
So 4G particularly is around 1 to 2 gigahertz.
1 to 2 gigahertz, yeah. You know, it depends where you live again. 900 megahertz to 1800 megahertz, which is 1 to 2 gigahertz, yeah.
And 5G, so that means we're talking about potentially 20 times.
20 times. So very high frequency. And what does that mean? Very short wavelength, because it's inversely proportional. And so very short wavelength, hence the term millimeter wave. And that's typically less than 10 millimeters. So very, very short wavelength. And so because of that, they need lots of antennas all over the place. So here's the fact from fiction thing. So, you know, the facts are lots of antennas all over the place, certainly for this very high frequency 5G, and also satellites in space. The most recent information I have on this is 80,000 plus satellites in space with companies like SpaceX. And there's like a group of companies. There's a couple of companies which are putting a lot up there, like 40,000 per company. OneWeb and SpaceX, I mean, just them alone, they're putting out something like 80,000 satellites.
Their intention, and this is public, right? I've read this from their websites. I mean, their intention is to basically blanket the entire world with a very strong EMF
signal, so, right? So the objective is to provide coverage for 5G everywhere. And in urban areas, this coverage will be provided by small cells. So that means lots of antennas. And it could be like every third or fourth house. And then in rural areas, then we'll have the satellites which are taking over from that. That's the idea. And these low orbit satellites. And already, so I mean, satellites in space which are beaming down electromagnetic frequencies, electromagnetic fields. I mean, already, I mean, doesn't that sound wrong? Just intuitively, doesn't it sound wrong? Is this what we want to be doing to our planet? And then we've got the studies. So we've got the studies which are associating these exposures with effects on the skin, on the heart, on the eyes, on the immune system, creating antibiotic resistance, and also damaging, fauna and plants and so on. So, you know, it's the studies are there, are coming out. And also we have research which is indicating that these very short wavelengths coupled with this high level of data is creating more adverse biological effects than other frequencies. So we, you know, so there is some science behind this. Is it black and white? No. But what I can tell you with absolute certainty, Nathan, is that this is another layer of electro smog. So already we've got all this electro smog, all this going on, okay? All these cell towers and wireless everywhere and Wi-Fi everywhere. And, you know, and people, most people are all for it. And I, you know, obviously it is convenient. But then we've got all these studies, some of which I've talked about, which are showing very clearly peer-reviewed science that there are these adverse effects. And, you know, okay, so we're talking about cancer here today. So I've gone over some of the science on the cancer, but it's not just about cancer. We've got links between, you know, all kinds of serious diseases, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, neurodegenerative diseases, you know, all the diseases of the 21st century, these chronic illnesses. And then we've got all these other illnesses, which, you know, all these kind of little things which we're all or many of us are experiencing, and we're wondering what's going on. And there's just so many, and the science is all, you know, this is going back and this was called microwave sickness initially, and there is just so many adverse kind of effects of this microwave sickness. And I'll just share a few very quickly with you, just so people can appreciate how vast this is and how, you know, in the myriad of ways that this technology can impact us. We're talking about headaches, dizziness, nausea, skin rashes, dehydration, because, you know, radiation, it kind of heats the body, low level thermal effects, difficulty concentrating, memory loss, mood disorders, personality disorders, depression, anxiety, digestive issues, impacts your gut, which obviously impacts your immune system, hair loss, sperm motility, you know, a lot of research on that, on reproductive issues. Tinnitus, that's another big one, pretty clear link between these exposures and tinnitus, and heart problems also, arrhythmias and palpitations. So these EMFs impact us in so many ways, and it's not about getting cancer and, you know, or getting these, you know, terrible diseases, Alzheimer's or whatever it is, which are more and more common. It's just that they're softly, bit by bit, silently, 24/7 zapping us and creating these a multitude of symptoms, which possibly one day will lead to something more serious.
And that's clearly the thing we need to be, you know, concerned about and also proactive about, right? So I think that the data, you know, you've clearly made it very compelling that we do need to be concerned about cell phone usage. We do need to be concerned about Wi-Fi and smart devices and all these things. And we do need to be concerned about 5G. And first, we have to be able to measure, right? We have to be able to measure our environment to know if we're, you know, in a safe environment or if there's something more we need to do. So why don't we do that? Why don't you show us how to measure in our homes, and then let's go into some ways that we can protect ourselves.
Yeah, so how to measure. Everybody's not always ready to measure, but honestly, this is like no-brainer. So I have a protocol for this, which is called the OM. The first thing is to understand, and that's what you're doing now, kind of understanding these different exposures, the wireless, you know, the radio frequency, the electric fields, the magnetic fields, and the dirty electricity. And then the second step is of this OM is to measure, and the third step is to mitigate. So UMM, understand, measure, mitigate. So the measure part we can do with something like this, which is a tri-field meter, and it's a tri-mode meter, and there are lots of meters out there, and this meter I like because it's so simple, and you can measure three kinds of EMF with this meter, and I'll switch it on so you can see. And we'll put it on the MAG setting, that stands for magnetic fields. And you can see, maybe as I bring it towards the screen, it's picking up some kind of low level. I can't actually see the readings, but and it actually makes a noise.
It went from 0.1 closer to you, and as you got closer to the screen, it went to 0.3. So, what are those readings that we
so those are MG. Magnetic fields, milligauss. And for instance, you remember when we were talking before, I said above 2 milligauss associated with leukemia. So you can see how quickly it goes, you know, being just very close to a computer, you can very quickly be at these levels. And if we put it on the next setting, that's the electric field setting. And I don't know if you can hear that. So I'm going to do something here.
Can't hear it, but we can see the number moving.
Oh, so the mic, because that's because the microphone's here. But so what I'm going to do here, so I've actually, my laptop is actually grounded because it's safer, and I'm going to take off the grounding. Okay, so I thought maybe it would make a difference, but
it went down. Let's see, do it again. Let's watch it again. And now this is measuring the electric.
So it's measuring the electric field.
Okay, so it's at 10, 11, 12, 13.
Okay, and then
14.
Now it's. So we take off. So no, but that's not. So that's not. Just depends on the setup. So actually, this. So what I suggest here is that this, the way I've got it, so this is not like the normal configuration. I just moved my room around a little bit to do this. It's actually grounding through, it's on a metal base. So it's actually grounding through that, I suggest, or the wires, or, but normally this is, I can see this very clearly when it's just kind of standalone. For instance, it could be grounding through me with this. I'd have to play around, but this is something which is very easy to measure. So that's the electric fields, and then RF, so that is the radio frequency. You can see it's zero. On this, so that's because I don't use wireless. So there is wireless, but I'm very fortunate where I live. It's not actually showing on here, but there are, you know, there are on a more sensitive meter, then you can, you know, you can pick up radio frequency radiation. So that's a great kind of starter meter because it's easy and it's relatively accurate and it's relatively inexpensive, under $200 for that meter. And then coupled with that,
real quick, what are the numbers in each one of those settings that we would consider safe? And then what are the numbers, obviously, that we need to be concerned about?
So there is no safe. There is no safe. That's the thing with EMFs, is there's no black and white. There's no number which is absolutely safe. There's no number which is absolutely dangerous. And what we're always trying to achieve is ALAR. That's to say, as low as reasonably possible. So we're always trying to get as low as reasonably possible. Having said that, I have some benchmark readings, which are kind of readings to aim for. And if you can get below that, then that's a good place to be. That's the best I can put it. And these benchmark readings are 0.02 volts per meter. Honestly, if you don't have an EMF meter, these are not going to mean a lot to you. But I recommend below 0.02 volts per meter for RF radiation. I recommend below 1 volt per meter for the electric fields. I recommend below 0.5 milligauss for magnetic fields and below 50 GS units for dirty electricity.
Okay.
And to measure, while we're here. So
RF below 0.02. I just want people to write these down, because when you get one of these devices, you can get these at electricsense.com. You know, these are numbers that you want to just keep an eye on. So RF is below 0.02. Electric is below 1
volt per meter.
Magnetic is below 0.5.
0.5 milligauss.
And what was the last one you said?
And dirty electricity below 50 GS units.
Below 50 GS units. And that's a separate device.
And that is this device here. Okay. And that is what it looks like. And it's just got a plug on it, which in my case is a French plug. Okay.
What's that one called? I can't see
it. It's called a GS meter. Okay.
GS meter.
Graham Stetson meter. And you just very simply plug that in. You look what number that gives you. And if you've got over 50 GS units, that means you want to be mitigating in some way. So that would be typically going around room by room, playing a bit of Sherlock Holmes, plugging things in, unplugging things, watching your meter and determining which devices are a problem. If you can unplug those devices, all well and good. If you can't, then you would install a filter, just plug in filters again in different rooms to mitigate those exposures.
Okay, so let's talk about what those filters are in a second. So one, obviously, you know, this is like anybody who is dealing with cancer or any chronic disease, you need to understand what's going on inside of your body. You need to get tested. You need to know if you have parasites or infections. You need to know your inflammatory markers or food allergies. You need to know, you know, where your cancer is, how far along it is, right? This is exactly the same thing. So to know if you are just extremely bombarded by these EMFs, you have to test and measure. So I just want to get that across, you know, electricsense.com, get the devices, right? So you can measure, number one. And then two, we've got the numbers. So we need to, you know, so we can kind of keep an eye on that. Now let's say we measure our numbers are above these numbers, which is going to be true for most people, right? What are some of the top things? I know you have reports and videos on your website. People should go get those. I know you have a report that's like 21 or 22 things that people can do. But what are really the top things you would encourage people to do right now to mitigate their EMF exposure?
Yeah. So where I always start is with a cell phone, because everybody's got a cell phone. And people are saying, you know, I got an email the other day saying, Lloyd, what's the safest cell phone I can buy? Well, unfortunately, it's not that simple because we don't have the data on the safest cell phone, because the way of measuring a safe cell phone is not reliable at all, called SAR, specific absorption rate. And even with a meter, you can't get an accurate reading. You need a laboratory to do that. So it's all about how you use a cell phone. And it would be anyway, because of this exponential fall off that we have with further you get from whatever the device is, in this case, the cell phone. So the further you get away from that cell phone, the better, quite simply. But there is an end, it's an exponential fall off. So literally just putting a few extra 10 millimeters or so between you and the cell phone, you get a 1,000-fold reduction or more in exposure levels. And so that's what I recommend to do in a very simple way. And all my tips around cell phones revolve around that basic understanding: distance is your friend. So therefore, that means using it on speakerphone, for instance, if you can. If you can't, then use an AirTube headset. And there are also, there's variations of this now, which transform a regular headset into an AirTube headset. You, when you're not using your phone, having it on airplane mode, which and ensuring that when it is on airplane mode, that all wireless functionality is switched off. And then, honestly, I do not recommend putting your cell phone next to your head, because, you know, it's that very you're putting it right next to that very precious organ, your brain. And, you know, frankly, people do so many things to look after their health, to, you know, feel good, and they eat well and they work out and, you know, they buy expensive creams and stuff to put on their skin. And yet this really basic thing, they abuse of, this really handy thing called a cell phone, we can do many, so many things, they totally abuse of many times through ignorance. So don't be ignorant. These are the facts. And yeah, so that's just a quick overview of how to use a cell phone more safely. And then beyond the cell phone, you know, the number two thing is the Wi-Fi at home. So everybody has Wi-Fi. I don't, because I got sick. I never even had the Wi-Fi. And that's, by the way, we didn't talk about my story, but that's why I'm talking about this, because I got sick using a cell phone. I got a reaction. I got very sick and it lasted years. I had to go through a whole process to become healthy again. And so I never had the Wi-Fi, but most people do. And most people sleep with Wi-Fi. So that would be the starter point, is switch the darn Wi-Fi off at night. And that would be by unplugging it. That's my preferred way of doing. And once you've started doing that, then what that becomes a pain in the backside. Yeah, doing it every night. Then I would recommend buying a mechanical timer. And so it switches off automatically when you go to sleep. Okay, you do not need Wi-Fi when you sleep. Remember, that's zapping you. When you sleep, when you're most vulnerable, when your body needs to heal, it can't. And there's a lot of research on this too, which are showing how this reduces the quality of our sleep. And really, the next step with this is to use an Ethernet cable, is to get rid of the Wi-Fi altogether and use a cable. And that's what I'm on now. I mean, even this little laptop I'm using to speak to you, it's all cabled. And I just run the cable around the room, and it's not a big deal, and it's safer and it's faster. So this is, you know, so that's, so cell phones, Wi-Fi. And also a third tip is, you know, in your bedroom, again, back to the bedroom thing, because it is important, those hours you spend in your bedroom, it's when your body heals, cellular rejuvenation, regeneration, detox, a whole load of processes going on, a whole load of protective processes protecting you notably from cancer and all these diseases of the 21st century. Well, here's something you can try, is to go down to your breaker panel, okay, and flip the switch, the circuit on the electrical circuit for your bedroom. And maybe the surrounding circuit, if there's another circuit you can switch off next to your bedroom, maybe the circuit underneath your bedroom, but you're trying to reduce those EMFs in your bedroom. Because again, what I said at the beginning here was the wires are giving off electromagnetic fields. And for instance, you can be sleeping in total darkness, but you will, I guarantee 95% of people are sleeping in an electric field. Because if you've got an electric light switch in your home, even with the electricity switched off, no power, no light, you have an electric field. When you switch it on, you have also a magnetic field. So all night, you're sleeping in an electric field. So switch it off, do that for 7 days, see how it goes. Maybe you won't feel, you know, maybe you'll feel worse because you could be an imbalance in your electrical circuits. This can happen. This is, you know, electricity is a bit weird and wonderful sometimes. And in which case, I recommend getting an electrician to have a look at this, not complicated, and resolve this wiring issue. Again, 2/3 of homes, according to one study, have wiring issues. So this is another big problem, and which is worthy of looking at. So those are some really quick tips that people can do. Cell phone, the Wi-Fi, and the electricity. And then to take things further, and kind of, we already took things further at the beginning, is really getting the meters. So getting like the Tri-Field meter, and the meter for the dirty electricity. And that is taking things further. And then it's a question of just doing a little EMF audit in your home, going around with those meters. But notably, what's the most important room, Nathan? Your bedroom. Obviously, it's the room where you sleep. And you do some very thorough testing in your bedroom over 7 days, multiple readings a day, write it all down on a little sheet, like a little science experiment. And then you set about mitigating, notably in your bedroom. And you'll do the same thing for all the other rooms where you spend any time. Obviously, if you've got a humongous EMF in your garage, who cares if you're not in there? You know, if you're just in and out, it's not a problem. But it's rooms where you spend time. That's where the problem is.
Yeah, thank you so much, Lloyd, for really, you know, taking a very complex subject and unpacking it and making it super simple to understand. These are some obviously great tips people can do immediately. And I know you've got some great resources for people who want to go further. Also, you know, all of the interviews we cover in this symposium are practical things that people can do to enhance your immune system, you know, increase your body's ability to heal itself faster, you know, the best anti-cancer fighting diet, which are going to, you know, produce more natural antioxidants, you know, the right types of movement and exercise, which is going to help flush your lymphatic system. All these other things we cover in the symposium, make sure you're doing those as well. But if we're not mitigating and reducing our toxic exposure, you know, to not only heavy metals and not only toxins in the food and water and not only, you know, toxins in the air and so forth, but these invisible toxins that are bombarding us every single day, as you've been talking about, then obviously we are missing out on our higher potential of our body's ability to heal itself. So, Lloyd, I just want to say thank you so much for this.
And if I can just very quickly just say, you know, it's not because you're not feeling these exposures that they're not impacting you. That's the first thing, is that the science is showing that they impact everybody. Second thing is that the science is showing that these effects are cumulative. And so they're impacting everybody and they're cumulative. And what's more, obviously, they're growing. You know, we're going into 5G and plans are already underway for 6G and 7G. So this is not going to stop anytime soon. So now is the time to get on board with this and do something about it.
Well, maybe we can, so obviously protect yourself, but then it's like for people who want to take larger action in their communities, in their local governments and, you know, federal government, what can we do there? So we should do a follow-up interview just on that because, you know, to stop these things from happening, we've got to take action as a collective society in general, right? And specifically towards the companies that are putting all of these, you know, massive satellites around the world. So yes, we got to protect ourselves, but then, you know, we need to get involved in local action that we can, it real quick as we finish, is for people who are interested in that, is there a resource or website somewhere people can go to?
There is. So actually what I recommend for that is EHT, Environmental Health Trust, and they do a great job. And that's a charity website. They do a great job of following this. Dr. Deborah Davis and her team of sharing information on actions around the world. And it really is very possible, and people are doing it. People are stopping 5G around the world in little communities, going to council meetings, holding up their hands and talking about this, because what they find is the people on, you know, that are running the local councils and what, they don't know about this.
Right.
So there is ignorance, and then there are people that are willingly for the 5G and know something about the dangers. But few people really understand just how dangerous this could be. And it is possible to stop it. And you're absolutely right that there is these, we have to look at this on the personal level. And then it's about what we can do on a collective level. And also it's about, you know, how you spend your money. Because if you're, if you've got that latest generation iPhone and you're, you know, with the $100 a month contract, then you are feeding the beast. Know that you are feeding the beast.
Yeah. I mean, I'm considering going back to a flip phone. I mean, you know, we all lived without cell phones. You know, I was growing up, I didn't have cell phones. Then when we had cell phones, we had the flip phones, right? And we got by just fine with those. So I'm really considering going back to a flip phone, which would help, of course. It's not the only solution. But I love the fact that, you know, Environmental Health Trust, EHT, people can start getting involved in our local communities. You know, that's what it's going to take. And Lloyd, we got to get you testifying in front of Congress, man. Let's do that. Let's make that happen. I don't know. That's got to be a top priority as well, because, you know, we've got to make a big change on a national level and a global level. And I think
the
guy to help do it. So,
well, I don't know if I'm the guy to do that, but the good news is that we can overcome this. So we can overcome it in terms of stopping the 5G. And then, you know, the thing is that most people that do get impacted by these exposures become electrically hypersensitive, like I was, and I still am, because I still feel it, but I don't get the symptoms. Then most of them, they don't overcome it. But I did, and I know people that have. And so it is possible. Mm. And so it is quite a lot of work, and it is really just totally overhauling your life. But it is possible. And everything's possible. Anything is possible. I truly believe that.
Thank you so much, Lloyd. I really appreciate your time, your energy, your passion, as well as sharing, you know, all this great information with our community. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in here to the Global Cancer Symposium. Make sure to share this with friends, family, anybody who needs to hear this information to truly change and transform their life. Make sure to visit Electric Sense. It's S-E-N-S-E, electricsense.com, to learn more about how to experience what Lloyd calls EMF freedom. And you can download his report on 21 ways you can live a healthy EMF protected life. Also, I encourage you to visit healthandhealingclub.com. You can learn more about our global membership to help you get and stay healthy. Again, I'm Nathan Crane. I wish you all ultimate health and happiness. Take care.